It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think that's really the question that we're going to have answered here coming up in a few weeks, because I've been thinking about it myself. And I feel like if there's anything I've learned in this game, it's like you never really know. And so I've kind of learned, like, it's too early to jump to any conclusions, but the games, the outcomes will kind of answer that for you in the coming weeks. And so we're still kind of in this like wait and see mode. And everyone knows how the game works, like how it matters. You know, results matter in this game. And so I don't know is the answer right now, but I think we will know in the coming weeks. Obviously, I understand we have to know, but I think those questions will be answered once we see kind of, you know, even just what happens leading up to the All-Star break, you know, what things look like and against some of the best teams in baseball right now.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Trista Crick here on 670 The Score. That was Elise Menaker on with Mark Rohde and Alyssa Bergamini. We have been talking Cubs. That was Elise talking about what the Cubs should do at the deadline. And I think Elise is too close to it. You know what I mean? I think all these people who are invested internally and as fans, and I know I'm a fan as well, that you're almost too close to the forest to see the trees. The fact that there's a hesitancy with the, you know, I don't really know what we should do at the deadline, feels kind of like Bulls fans as well. I think in general, Cubs fans that don't know, that say they don't know, I think there's a level of Stockholm syndrome going on. There's a gaslighting that's going on that is happening all around you about your team being competitive. And now just anything, small things, lead you to believe that maybe, just maybe, this team can make a run. And as an interested and invested outsider, I can tell you this team is not a contender or a competitive. Not competitive on any real level. The call is coming from inside the house. And that house is on fire. And you're being told the house is not on fire. I think maybe just the kitchen is cooking something up. And like, I know you hear the fire alarm slightly beeping, but don't worry about that. Just get back to the backyard. And you are the dog surrounded by the fire meme saying everything's okay, when you know deep down inside, like deep down, I think, Elise, deep down, I think Cubs fans as a whole, Cubs broadcasters as a whole, knows this team probably needs to shake something up. And it's time for a rebuild, I believe. I think it's time to take it down to the studs. And we're not talking about this retooling that everybody wants to do because it's cute and you think you can get back to contention in 12 months from now. I'm telling you, we're talking full-on Washington Nationals type of a teardown, like they did after they won. Yeah, Leo, full-on Washington Nationals teardown, like they got rid of Scherzer, like they got rid of Soto, like they let Rendon walk, Trey Turner. And what did they get in return? I know they're not a good team, but they are more fun than the Cubs to watch. Are they not? You have C.J. Abrams. You have Mackenzie Gore. You have Lane Thomas. You have Josiah Gray. And 2 years later, they're one of the most fun young teams in the National League, poised financially to make the moves necessary next year or the year after to be really, really good. And that perspective is how Cubs fans need to think and how the Cubs front office needs to think, more importantly. Whoever's not in the long-term plans, they got to go, baby. They got to go. For whatever you can get them to be gone for, they need to be moved. And that's nothing personal. I like them all. But selling at the deadline makes sense for a few reasons. One, nobody else really is selling. Nobody good. There's not that many players that anybody wants. There's a lot of players that are good enough to go to a team just a piece or so away that's contending and might need a Nico Hoerner. If you're going to sell, you got to sell now. There's not that many good players available. You're going to get a lot of good value for them this year that you're probably not going to get next year. Like, who on the market right now is really available? What's the big name that you can go out and get? Well, we know there's not really anyone because there's not anybody that the Cubs fans are clamoring for anymore. Another reason that you got to sell. This team is seventh in the majors in payroll. And if you're not a competitive team and you're top 10 in payroll, and congratulations for spending the money, because there's plenty of teams that won't, that deserve to, that should spend. But you cannot be a top 10 team in payroll and be this far below 500 and have the hitting statistics that you have the bullpen that you have. So shedding salary is just as important as getting back prospects in a rebuilding situation, because you do want to have the ability and financial flexibility to make a swing when you need to. Right now, you have seven minor leaguers in the top 100 of prospects. So you got to let them develop. You can't allow other players who have probably different timelines than the Cubs have to be on this team above them. They need the opportunity to develop. They need the opportunity to show the team whether they are as good as everybody thinks that they should be and who they can become. Like, think about Isaiah Kiner-Falefa for the Yankees last year and the year before that, really. You had Anthony Volpe sitting right there on the minors, and they would not bring him up, and they just kept Isaiah Kiner-Falefa there for who knows why. He was terrible. And guess what? Now Anthony Volpe is top 10 in runs scored, top three in triples in the league. Think about how good that kid would be if he was in the majors earlier and had another year or two to develop. The last team in the majors to have this many prospects in the farm system in the top 100 was the Padres. And now I think the Padres have five or six available eligible players that are batting 270 or better. So, and that does not even include Pete Crow Armstrong or Michael Bush. So, really, nine. The question that I have for you guys is, what do you think? Am I tripping? Should the Cubs be ready to tear it down? Should they be standing pat, hold on to guys like Dansby Swanson? Who, by the way, I saw a stat. It was such a wildly skewed stat that Dansby Swanson leads the, he's top four in the majors since 2021 in WAR at the shortstop position. Just nonsense. What do you think? Let me know. We've got Brandon in Morton Grove, and he has an idea. I'd love to hear his thoughts. What's up, Brandon?
What's going on, Krista? Thanks for taking my call. Congratulations on today.
Thank you.
So I think the big difference with this Cubs team this year is, you know, Azale. We've had him since 2013. You know, we thought he was going to be the big ace. And, you know, he gets hurt this year, kind of regresses. And all those, like, one-run games, you know, I think really hurt us. And then when we started doing that, I think they were pressing too much, trying to hit the long ball. Even, you know, with, like, men on base. I don't know. I can't tell how many times they've left runners on base this year. So I think like a trade with the White Sox would be good, possibly. I mean, I know Robert gets hurt, but why not roll the dice, you know? He's a home run hitter at Wrigley. It worked for Sosa, and maybe he can take advantage of, like, you know, the nice facilities there, and maybe even throw in DeJong, you know, since Dansby's kind of on regression. and even maybe Noah Schultz. You know, just clean, wipe them out. I'll take a little big unit.
Do you think that the White Sox want to help a crosstown rival?
I mean, if they're unloading him, what would it take? I mean, who can we bring up? Ballesteros? I mean, he does have a pretty nice swing, and, you know, the Sox could use a catcher besides Maldonado. So, I mean, maybe throw him in there with, like, maybe a, like six or seven or, you know, four guys or something.
Yeah, thanks so much for your call, Brandon. I just don't see there being a scenario. That's why it was so fascinating when the Nets and the Knicks traded with one another, because you just never see that. I think it's the last time it happened, I was a baby. I think it was like in the 80s, like 1987, since the last time that the Knicks and the Nets, don't quote me, it's definitely over 30 years ago that the Knicks and the Nets traded with one another. So I don't see, and I remember a Mets-Yankees trade a couple of years ago as well. But the White Sox are not really inclined to help the Cubs, let's be honest. And Dansby's one of those players that I don't think you can really trade when he's at his lowest value. That's just not, I mean, I used to work in finance, actually. Quick side note, I was a broker, and I tell you what, a lot of investors would like to sell at the bottom because that's when it feels like the right time, and that is the worst time. So I think you kind of got to ride it out with Dansby, because I'm betting he finds a way to return back to his old self, at least somewhat close, and you've got him under team control for a long time. The White Sox and Cubs have traded twice this century, so that's just a little fact about that. But yeah, I think Dansby actually is the player that you really want to hang on to, because things can't get much worse for Dansby right now. I just gave you all of the details on his batting and how many strikeouts he's had, the multiple strikeouts that he's had, and I just don't think anyone's going to want to give you anything of value for Dansby Swanson right now, because they think that they can fleece you. So to me, though, like, I don't know why it's even a question, why it's even a let's wait and see about the Cubs in terms of what they should do at the deadline, and that's what we're talking about right now. What should the Cubs do at the deadline? The Cubs right now, since May 1st, have the worst record in the National League. They're 22-34 since May 1st. That is outrageous. That's just not commensurate with competitive baseball at all. Their ace, Shota Imanaga's ERA, has gone from 0.84 on May 18th to 3.16 today. So that is very tough. And everyone is in a slump. Chris Morel is batting 199. He's unsustainably bad. And right now, the Fangraphs has the Cubs at a 6.4% chance of making the postseason, which means it's a time to take a hard look at what you think this team really is and what versus what you want it to look like. Let's go to Joe in St. Charles, who has some thoughts as well. What's up, Joe? You are
on the score. You know, I'll tell you what I think that team is lacking, and it's an alpha dog. They don't have an alpha dog. I don't know. An alpha dog doesn't have to hit 50 home runs. An alpha dog's just a leader, and they do not have a leader.
Yeah, and they don't have a player that they can rely on to really be not just an alpha as a leader, but someone who can deliver you runs. And those sometimes are the same thing, and sometimes those aren't the same things, but they don't have either, right? They don't have someone that's the emotional leader, the, you know, the twilight years where Anthony Rizzo was that guy, and still to a degree for the Yankees is that guy, but he's certainly not the go-to player like Aaron Judge is. Sometimes they're the same guy. You need one, preferably both, and sometimes your star player is your emotional leader as well. They just need more talent, honestly, Joe. I really feel like that's the main thing, is that there's a lot of very middle-of-the-road players that are underperforming and could be better, but also there's no elite talent here as of now. At least it's not showing itself in the last 2 years, Like I said, there's one player on this team that's batting 270 or higher, and that's Cody Bellinger, and he's right at 270. And let's be honest, at other points in the season, it wasn't great. You just, if you look at teams that are good in Major League Baseball, they have more than one. A lot of times they have three or four. And so you look at this team, you have to say, all right, we've got young guys that like Chris Morel, like Nico Horner, and that are somewhat in the middle of their 20s that could probably really help someone who's on a timeline of contention, but definitely cannot help a Cubs team when in 4 years this team is ready to contend and they are either done with this contract and they don't fit into the plans, or they're now at the edge of their prime or at the end of their prime. So to me, that's the main issue. Like I said, there's been a debate about what the Cubs should do, and I just don't see the reason for the debate. Give me your thoughts. 312-644-6767. We've been talking about how today's win really doesn't matter in terms of what the Cubs should do. Next segment, we have Nick Friedel to talk a little bit about the Bulls, because, by the way, the Bulls traded DeMar DeRozan for 2 second-round picks and Chris Duarte. Talk about another team that likes to gaslight their fan base. And I'm also quite interested in that. But I'd love to hear from you for the next few minutes on the Cubs as well. But to me, I wanted to believe and I wanted to feel optimistic because I like the players and their names. They have names. You've got plenty of guys that if you look up and down the lineup, you're like, okay, they should be better than this. And they just haven't been this entire year and for largely most of last year as well. Great pitching from Hayden Wesneski, like I said. Congratulations to him because he's been getting shelled. 6 1/3 innings of one-hit ball with only one walk. Can't ask for anything better than that. And Dansby, like I said, you can't really sell him now when he's been in an 0-for-24 slump outside of today. He went 0-for-3 yesterday with 3 strikeouts. So I know we talk about a leader, and he's certainly not that guy, but I think he's probably better than what he is, which is a 77 WRC plus this season, which is 7th worst in all of baseball in terms of qualified hitters. So that's all good. What do you think, Leo? Are you a Cubs fan or no?
I am a suffering White Sox fan, unfortunately.
Oh, gross.
Yeah,
so
I know. It's
I don't know
rough.
Why. I don't know why our man, what's his name, Brandon? Brandon thought that a Sox-Cubs trade would be imminent.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't really seem to do that much. And like the last time they did it was the Quintana for Eloy and Cease. And that was, what, 7 years ago?
Yep. And I don't think, I mean, the way that the White Sox look right now, I don't think they're inclined to bail out the Chicago Cubs at a time where things don't look particularly bright right now. And I know that there's some question marks and commentary on, like, is Jed Hoyer on the hot seat? I just don't see that that's really a perspective that ownership has, honestly. What should they do? Everyone should take a hard look in the mirror and say, okay, this deadline could be a place where we allow our prospects to get opportunities to develop right now. And then we allow guys who probably really want to compete to not feel the weight of the world pressing down on them because they're filled with other somewhat mid-of-the-road players, and they can go to a place where they don't need to worry about having to hit at a time when the rest of the team cannot hit as well. Let's go to David, who apparently has no location except for his car. What's up, David? You're on 670 The Score.
Hey, I just want to first of all compliment you. I have not heard an analyst delineate as well as you did and encapsulate everything that is truly going on with the Cubs. I think some Cubs fans are just way drinking too much Kool-Aid. I think you really got it right. This team is hard to watch. And mediocre at best talent. And yes, get rid of whomever. I'd say other than Steele, get rid of whoever you can get something for, blow it up, and start again. We don't have a catcher. Christopher Morel probably shouldn't be in the major leagues. On and on and on. We could all go. And then I agree 100% with you. And honestly, I'm thinking, is Jed Hoyer really the guy? Do we really want him to do the rebuild? He's the architect of this mess. So, you know, this management, hopefully they're going to take a hard look at if he's the guy. I don't think they're going to get rid of him right now, but do we trust him to make the good choices? Because right now, this is a horrible team, and I really appreciate the way you laid things out. So thank you very, very much for absolutely describing what truly is the mess that the Chicago Cubs are in right now. Appreciate it. Oh, thank you.
I appreciate you, David. I mean, the point of sports when you're watching is to have fun, and right now the Cubs largely aren't very much fun to watch. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com, which, by the way, I have a show on BetQL Monday through Friday, 7 to 11, if you're betting inclined. Last hour, well, actually 6 to 10 Central Time, 7 to 11 Eastern Standard Time. So if you want to listen to that on the Score when there's not a Cubs game on, definitely do that as well. We got to hit this break. I think that's kind of all I really have to say about the Cubs right now, and I'm glad that David understands that. Moving forward, at some point soon, we'll talk about Jed and just management structure as a whole, but there's a lot going on with the Bulls right now, and listen, it's kind of similar, honestly, the more you look into it. 312-644-6767. Up next, we're going to talk to Nick Friedel, Odyssey NBA insider, who's been on the beat on many teams, some functional, some dysfunctional. He was on the beat with the Nets when Kyrie, KD, and Harden were there. That was fun. He was also on the beat for the Golden State Warriors during their reign also. So lots to talk about with him as it relates to where the Bulls are at right now. Again, we'll be back right after this. Trista Crick here on The Score. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, Bulls ball with DeRozan. DeRozan with 29 in the ballgame. Hard left angle drive with the finish with the left hand. He's got 31. 119, 110 New York. 3:40 left.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's a beautiful Sunday. I'm back on 670 The Score. Earlier on the show, we just talked about whether we as fans should trust the vision of the Cubs and where things are going. And I believe that a teardown is the best thing for this team long term. And we are being told that that's not the case, that we should just hang on, be patient. Good things are right around the corner. Real winning, I think, is required around a teardown. And I think that's actually quite similar with the Chicago Bulls as well, which is absolutely wild. So we talk about that with Nick Friedel. On the line is Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedel. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. What's up, Nick?
Trista, it is great to be with you. And if we're going into teardown situations, the Bulls are certainly at the top of the list, but the Cubs are somewhere near there. And I say this as a diehard, my whole life Cubs fan. That team is rough to watch. I know they had a better day today. And I know we could go a variety of different directions, but man, the Cubs, watching them this year with all the money on that payroll, it hurts, but it's not as bad as being a Bulls fan right now, that's for sure.
It does. And the thing that's crazy, really quick before we get into the Bulls, is that we're celebrating a win against the LA Angels without Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. The last time I checked was an LA Dodger.
If you could find people walking down Michigan Avenue who could name three Angels right now, that would be impressive. I mean, that team has no faith whatsoever. But, hey, the Cubs will take a win any way they can get it, and at least they got one today.
Yeah, so we're talking about the Bulls, and they finally do make the move to get rid of DeMar DeRozan. And earlier this offseason, it was there's mutual interest to bring DeMar back. They're prioritizing DeMar, and then they obviously trade Alex Caruso for Josh Giddey straight up, and DeMar says, peace up, A-Town down, I'm out of here. So what did you think about the DeMar DeRozan trade?
Trista, it's another case of the Bulls holding on way too long to a player who could have gotten much better value in return earlier. And the outpouring of love for DeRozan has been something to see, certainly on social media, not only from the Chicago beat writers, but people who dealt with him day-to-day within the organization. It's been impressive. I mean, the guy made his mark in a few years, and he's very clearly a good guy. But as far as the Bulls, short-term and long-term, he doesn't fit. And they should have moved him last year, when they could have gotten more pieces back, just like they should have moved Caruso when they could have gotten more at the deadline, just like they should have moved Levine a year and a half ago when they could have gotten a lot more back, and now they can't get off that contract. I mean, Andre Drummond, you could have gotten a couple second-round picks for him, and he just walked to Philly. So it's another case to me of why the Bulls are where they are, because the front office has made bad mistake after bad mistake over and over. Ownership is running things the way that they have chosen to do so, and it's why you have a product that just isn't very good. And if you're a Bulls fan, on top of what's gone on recently with the DeRozan move now, when you combine that with the decisions that have been made leading up to this, even this summer, you just shake your head. I mean, there is a reason why the Bulls within the league, people just roll their eyes and shake their heads when you start talking about the moves that have been made. This is another one of them. Even if he had to go and you've got to hit the button on another teardown, you could have gotten more, and once again they did.
And we all can see it, Nick, and that's what's so insane to me. So you've been covering the league a long time. Why do you think the Bulls didn't pull the trigger earlier when they could have gotten more for Caruso, DeRozan, Levine, and probably at some point Vooch?
Tristan, the answer to that question always goes back to the front office that's in charge. In this case, it's Karnisovas and Eversley. They're just making bad move after bad move. But, And it's a big but as far as the Bulls and their history and the way they've chosen to operate with the front offices going back to Garn Pax that have been in place. You never know for sure if the GM and the president of basketball operations deserve every piece of the blame, because you never know for sure just how much Jerry and Mike Reinsdorf are involved in saying, hey, we're not breaking up this team right now because we want to try to push for the postseason. I mean, this dates back years and years. I mean, you've covered the league a long time, just like I have. This is on ownership. I mean, if you're a Bulls fan, the people to be maddest at are Jerry and Mike, because they're leaving the front offices in place longer than they should, certainly with Garn Pax, or they're hiring the wrong people and still leaving those people in place, a la Karnisovas and Eversley. I mean, I laugh at all the Bulls fans that were going nuts, saying, oh, Garn Pax are the worst ever, they're the worst ever. You would love, if you're a Bulls fan, to have Garn Pax back right now. I mean, they are a clear upgrade over this front office. So there is always a lot of blame to go around, and it always is going to be
with a focal point around the front office in place at the moment. But any Bulls fan who has watched what's gone on for years and years knows that if you're looking to place the most blame somewhere, that is ownership, and that is on Jerry and Mike.
I don't mind a team that isn't contending if I feel like, Nick, they have a clear plan. I think we kind of know what San Antonio wants to do. I think it's pretty obvious what things, even when we don't know why Sam Presti's doing something in Oklahoma City, we kind of know what his general vision is. In your view, what do you think the Bulls' vision and plan is now that they are somewhat committed to tearing things down?
Make sure that they don't have to give that pick to San Antonio in the next year and be real bad and keep filling the United Center. Because, Tristan, in the end, for the ownership group, it's about making money. I mean, the Bulls are completely mediocre. They are going nowhere. They're now making the moves that they should have made a while ago. And they just don't have a clear direction. I mean, that is another reason why the frustration level has got to be so high, is because not only do they not have a clear direction, and they haven't had one for a little while, but they've got the wrong people in place to try and turn it around. Even if we sat here and we said, okay, the DeRozan move was the right move to start fresh and get a change going, why would anybody have confidence that Karnisovas and Eversley are the people to get the right pieces in place and be able to turn things around? So I think in the immediate aftermath of this deal, it's pretty obvious what they're going to do. I mean, next year they're going to be really bad. You let Coby White play some more. Yoke Giddy can show you more improvement than what he did throughout much of last year in OKC. But they stink. They're not going to be very good. And this is a team that is going absolutely nowhere. And there's no reason to believe, forget next year and what happens with that pick, there's no reason to believe that things are going to change anytime soon. Because, again, they've made so many bad moves in a row that there's just not a lot of hope. And in pro sports, that's one thing that almost all teams are able to sell at some point. You can't even sell hope right now with the Bulls because they are so many years away from being where they want to be.
Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like H-Track, all-wheel drive, and standard third-row seating. Talking to Nick Friedel, Odyssey NBA insider as well. You mentioned that this team is going to stink, and I agree, because this 2025 draft is supposedly going to be a historically good draft. You've got Ace Bailey, you've got Dylan Harper, you've got Cooper Flagg, all bells of the ball, so they need that pick to be theirs. But somebody that's standing in the way of really bad basketball is Zach LaVine. When healthy, he is a bucket, and he can accidentally win you some games. So what do you think happens with him now?
You got to move him. If you're the Bulls, Tristan, you've got to attach whatever asset or assets that it takes, and you got to move him, because if you keep LaVine and you try to rehab the value that he's lost by having the surgery, by being out for so long, to me, you're stunting the growth of your younger guys. You know, this is the moment for Coby White. You just gave Pat Williams $90 million, although that's another comical decision, because you gave Pat Williams $90 million, but you gave him a player option in the last year. So if he's any good after year four, he's out of there again and wants more money. I mean, it makes you shake your head. But as far as LaVine goes, if it's me, you do whatever you have to do to move off of that deal. It was bad when it got signed. It's gotten worse now. It was just a terrible decision, but it's one that they've got to take care of. I am not of the belief that you allow LaVine to start the year in a place that he doesn't want to be, in a situation where you've got younger guys who need the minutes and need to grow the confidence to become better players in the league. So you figure out a way to get it done, and usually in the NBA, there are no untradeable contracts. It's just a matter of how much you're going to attach to those contracts to make them more palatable for the team that's taken them.
You know, you mentioned AK and the leadership not being something that you have faith in, but AK, Nick, came from Denver, so I think a lot of fans imagine when he was the GM and all of the good things that they found a way to do, whether that was the Aaron Gordon trade, whether that was finding Jokic out of nowhere, whether that was Jamal Murray, all of these different things, that AK would be a strong leader that maybe that would be able to stand up to ownership and make good decisions. Am I tripping, or what is it? Was he good then and not good now, or was he never really that good and now is just getting exposed?
It's a really good question. I think the truth is always somewhere in the middle. The reality, even if you want to believe that Karnisov has been stunted by the ownership of the Bulls and hasn't been able to do exactly what he wanted to do, is whatever decisions that he has made to this point, they haven't been good. I mean, that team is just so completely average. They're not very much fun. You give that contract to LaVine, it was terrible. You make that Vucevic deal, he hasn't been that good, and you gave up a lot to make that happen. You make sure that you're going to bring all these, at least in your pitch, to fans, that you're going to bring these high level free agents in, and you get DeRozan, and he played really well, and boom, he's gone. I mean, he has just fallen flat on everything that he was supposed to bring. And again, to me, it ties back into when you aren't even capable of selling hope anymore. What the hell are the Reinsdorfs waiting for? I mean, whether he just has been really bad in Chicago, or he wasn't that good in Denver, and the hype was overblown. Whatever the reason, this is why the Bulls are the Bulls, because the league has shown, and the results, even more importantly, have shown that they're not very good, and they're headed in a really bad direction the next few years, even if they are able to start turning things around. This isn't the guy. The longer that you keep Karnisovas and Eversley in place, and you wait to hire the next person, whomever it may be, well, this is why bad organizations stay bad for a while, and this is the latest example for the Bulls as to why they've gotten themselves in the position of complete irrelevance for basically the last decade that they've been in.
Before I let you run, what would give you faith? Like, what decision maker at the top of this team would give you faith that the things that they were going to do would be headed in the right direction?
The only thing that would make me feel like the Bulls were serious about finally getting things back to the level that they were at 10 years ago or so is if they got rid of these guys and they brought in Bob Myers. And Tris, it's the same idea with Myers. I mean, he made a lot of really good decisions with the Warriors, but there's a reason Bob left when he did. I mean, he saw that Warriors, that gravy train was sliding in the wrong way. He saw the decisions that were coming, and that's why right now he's sitting there doing TV. But he still has the track record and the pedigree of a guy who knows how to build title winners, and he's the best, to me, available choice that's out there. So the Bulls just wouldn't do this because that's not, again, how the Reinsdorfs operate. But my opinion is, if they were to go out and they were to say, all right, Bob, you're the guy, we are going to put more money behind you than we have in the past, we're going to let you make the choices, period, nobody else, that would show me that they're ready to finally get things on a much better track than they've been on.
Well, it's better than saying that this team needs to be sold. So I was half-heartedly expecting that. But
well, we know that's not going to happen, so don't even spend the energy on it.
Good stuff, Nick. Thanks so much for joining us. That was Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Friedel. Insider calls are brought to you by the new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Thanks so much, Nick.
You got it. Have a good one, Chris. Trista.
You too. Good stuff. Good stuff. That's a man. We need men and women who do not sugarcoat what is happening. And the crazy thing is, when you ask other people that do not cover the league, but you ask the people in the league, like, hey, is AK any good? They clam up like they are underwater. Whoop! You don't even want to know what they, oh, I can't talk about my colleagues like this. I don't want to say if someone's good, if someone's bad. Listen here, people. We need to fully evaluate what we have on our hands to know what the root of the problem is. And it sounds like, from Nick's perspective at least, that as nice of men, I'm also part Lithuanian. Shout out to Lithuania, my Lithuanian brother, AK. I don't mind going a different direction, even if you like someone personally or you feel like maybe they're a nice man. They're just not getting the job done. And it's a results-based business. And the Chicago Bulls, there hasn't been a lot of good things to talk about, and except for DeMar DeRozan's clutch fourth quarter scoring and him scoring 46 points with not a single three-pointer made. I don't know who you build around, and we'll talk more about this team after the break because I've got thoughts. Let's pull some of what Nick had to say, and we can react to it. Trista Crick here, 670 The Score. Give me a call. What did you think of what Nick had to say? Because, boy, oh, boy, was there a lot to cover there. 312-644-6767. What would give you faith that the Bulls were headed in the right direction? We'll be back.
Luka Doncic, Luka. Playing with a full head of steam. They pinch him with a triple team. The pass off the fingertips of Lively. Controlled by DeRozan on a steal. DeMar against Doncic. To the rim to the finish with a right hand. He drove past Luka Doncic. And right now for DeMar in 21 minutes, he's in double digits with 10, the third Bulls player in double figures.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Trista Crick here on The Score. Big shout out to Nick Friedel, our NBA Odyssey insider, for dropping by. If you missed that interview, make sure to go to the Odyssey app and or just hit rewind right now and you'll be able to listen to it. Or later on, if you don't have time right now, just go on the podcast, anywhere you get your podcast, whether that's Apple, Spotify. I'm sure there's other ones that I'm not thinking of. Find that interview. Our guy Leo is going to definitely post that. And he was dropping some knowledge. So we only have a few minutes before the top of the hour break comes, but I think in general we need more people that are honest about the state of this team and the state of all of Chicago sports teams, because it feels like there's a lot of tiptoeing around because of either personal relationships or you don't want to make the fans sad or you don't really want to come to terms with it yourself. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of the moves that the Bulls have made this offseason, and they've made moves, don't get me wrong, they have made moves, are just too late. Nick is 100% right, and we'll get some of his clips to react to at the top of the hour, but the DeMar DeRozan trade happened way, way, way too late. You're getting, by the way, 2 second-round picks that you probably have to then reuse to flip Zach LaVine, maybe even a first-round pick to go along to get rid of Zach LaVine. So essentially you do lose DeMar DeRozan for Chris Duarte, which, let's be honest, like, Chris Duarte, not the player necessarily that you really want to build around. I know that there's a lot of people that are upset. Well, at least I saw that they were upset that the Bulls organization did not take on Harrison Barnes and the 2031 pick swap that the San Antonio Spurs got. Let's be honest, though. The San Antonio Spurs are getting picks because they're below the tax line and they're doing the best Oklahoma City Thunder impression that they can possibly have and just stack assets by taking players that other teams may or may not want. And I bet you San Antonio will then flip that player, Harrison Barnes, for something else down the road. But like everyone that watches Chicago basketball, ownership, pretty cheap, let's be real. The Bulls have paid the 24th most luxury tax in the 21st century, despite having the third largest fan base. So in this case, to me, though, it makes zero sense to take on Harrison Barnes, really. You're trying to keep your top 10 protected 2025 pick in a historically good draft. You don't want anyone who raises your floor at all. So Harrison Barnes raises your floor. Zach LaVine raises your floor. Nikola Vucevic raises your floor. So DeMar DeRozan, of course, raises your floor. So all these guys cannot be on the team unless you're willing to just let them accumulate dust, which you definitely do not want to do, is have them sit on the bench and diminish in value. So 2025 draft is going to be lit. There's going to be great players in this draft. So you can't keep Harrison Barnes. But it also puts you in the luxury tax for no reason. In essence, the trade brought the Bulls 2 second-round draft picks and a mediocre player, though, for a free agent who could have walked for nothing. DeMar DeRozan could have easily done nothing for you. And it says something that he made this deal happen for Chicago, that he made that deal happen for San Antonio with you to begin with. That's why San Antonio has a top 10 protected pick this year, or a top 8 protected next year, or a top 8 protected pick in 2027. There's a reason why. Because DeMar DeRozan does right by the teams, and teams do right by him. So he could have gone to Sacramento for less money and walked for nothing. But to play devil's advocate before we go, because we got to hit this break soon, the Bulls did in this draft, this DeMar DeRozan trade, end up with the worst player and the worst draft compensation out of the three teams that did the deal. By taking on Barnes and for 2 years and $37 million, they could have had a tradable chip, and lots of teams may or may have not wanted Barnes at the deadline. But again, like Nick said, do you trust management to understand how to flip assets? At this point, I think for me, the answer is probably no. And is AK even going to be around in 2031? If AK is around in 2031 to make that Kings pick swap selection, we've got real issues. We've got real issues. Let's talk more about the Bulls offseason in a nutshell and the future of the Bulls after this. Again, make sure to go back and listen to Nick's interview that he just had with us. Again, 312-644-6767. What do you think? What are you thinking about how the Bulls have done this offseason? Too little, too late, or are you optimistic? Trista Crick here on 670 The Score. We'll be back right after this. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Go to the Odyssey app and or just hit rewind right now and you'll be able to listen to it. Or later on, if you don't have time right now, just go on the podcast, anywhere you get your podcast, whether that's Apple, Spotify. I'm sure there's other ones that I'm not thinking of. Find that interview. Our guy Leo is going to definitely post that. And he was dropping some knowledge. So we only have a few minutes before the top of the hour break comes. But I think in general, we need more people that are honest about the state of this team and the state of all of Chicago sports teams, because it feels like there's a lot of tiptoeing around because of either personal relationships, or you don't want to make the fans sad, or you don't really want to come to terms with it yourself. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of the moves that the Bulls have made this offseason, and they've made moves, don't get me wrong, they have made moves, are just too late. Nick is 100% right, and we'll get some of his clips to react to at the top of the hour, but the DeMar DeRozan trade happened way, way, way too late. You're getting, by the way, 2 second-round picks that you probably have to then reuse to flip Zach LaVine, maybe even a first-round pick to go along to get rid of Zach LaVine. So essentially, you do lose DeMar DeRozan for Chris Duarte, which, let's be honest, like Chris Duarte, not the player necessarily that you really want to build around. I know that there's a lot of people that are upset. Well, at least I saw that they were upset that the Bulls organization did not take on Harrison Barnes and the 2031 pick swap that the San Antonio Spurs got. Let's be honest, though. The San Antonio Spurs are getting picks because they're below the tax line and they're doing the best Oklahoma City Thunder impression that they can possibly have and just stack assets by taking players that other teams may or may not want. And I bet you San Antonio will then flip that player, Harrison Barnes, for something else down the road. But like everyone that watches Chicago basketball, ownership, pretty cheap. Let's be real. The Bulls have paid the 24th most luxury tax in the 21st century, despite having the third largest fan base. So in this case, to me, though, it makes zero sense to take on Harrison Barnes, really. You're trying to keep your top 10 protected 2025 pick in a historically good draft. You don't want anyone who raises your floor at all. So Harrison Barnes raises your floor. Zach LaVine raises your floor. Nikola Vucevic raises your floor. So DeMar DeRozan, of course, raises your floor. So all these guys cannot be on the team unless you're willing to just let them accumulate dust, which you definitely do not want to do, is have them sit on the bench and diminish in value. So 2025 draft is going to be lit. There's going to be great players in this draft. So you can't keep Harrison Barnes. But it also puts you in the luxury tax for no reason. In essence, the trade brought the Bulls 2 second-round draft picks and a mediocre player, though, for a free agent who could have walked for nothing. DeMar DeRozan could have easily done nothing for you. And it says something that he made this deal happen for Chicago, that he made that deal happen for San Antonio with you to begin with. That's why San Antonio has a top 10 protected pick this year, or a top 8 protected next year, or a top 8 protected pick in 2027. There's a reason why. Because DeMar DeRozan does right by the teams, and teams do right by him. So he could have gone to Sacramento for less money and walked for nothing. But to play devil's advocate before we go, because we got to hit this break soon, the Bulls did in this draft, this DeMar DeRozan trade, end up with the worst player and the worst draft compensation out of the three teams that did the deal. By taking on Barnes and for 2 years and $37 million, they could have had a tradable chip, and lots of teams may or may have not wanted Barnes at the deadline. But again, like Nick said, do you trust management to understand how to flip assets? At this point, I think for me, the answer is probably no. And is AK even going to be around in 2031? If AK is around in 2031 to make that Kings pick swap selection, we've got real issues. We've got real issues. Let's talk more about the Bulls offseason in a nutshell and the future of the Bulls after this. Again, make sure to go back and listen to Nick's interview that he just had with us. Again, 312-644-6767. What do you think? What are you thinking about how the Bulls have done this offseason? Too little, too late, or are you optimistic? Trista Crick here on 670 The Score. We'll be back right after this. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.